Case number 24-3189 from the Southern District of Iowa, Christopher Majors versus City of West Des Moines, et al.
Mr. Solzi, when you're ready. You may.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Bruce Stolte, Jr., and I represent Christopher Majors in his matter against the City of West Des Moines and Detective Jason Hatcher. Now, Your Honors, I don't want to bore the court with a lot of facts, but in this particular case, the facts are really the devil in the details. The case law here is not all that controversial between the two parties. What we have here is we have a case that was brought as an incident that occurred between Mr. Majors and his then wife. There was a domestic disturbance that occurred. The stories do diverge a little bit here. Mr. Majors, his recitation of the facts is that what ended up happening was he wanted to take his minor daughter swimming. He tried exiting the premises. His then-wife would not allow him to leave. He changed to a different door. She tackled him from behind, and they both slammed to the ground. At that point, he picked the child back up. He went into the street. He ended up calling law enforcement. Mrs. Majors, then, her story is that Mr. Majors was taking the child swimming and that the child had disrespected the mother. What ended up then happening was he wanted to leave. She wanted to gain physical affection from her husband. He denied her. He then apparently resisted her and pushed her away and then pushed her on the ground outside.
Let me ask a question, and you can go back to your facts in a minute. Yeah. But, I mean, I take it one of the key elements of your appeal here is the either bruised or broken rib. Is that right? And the problem I have with the argument is I think there's still probable cause. It doesn't matter if it was bruised or broken for the purposes of probable cause.
So, yes, and the district court relied on that, and the defendants have restated that multiple times. Here's the facts. In the police report, it doesn't say fractured rib and bruised ribs.
I understand that, but let's say it just said bruised rib. There's still probable cause, isn't there?
I think there might be, and that's the real difficulty here, what's going on.
Well, if you look at it, I want you to flush that out, because here's the way I see probable cause. If there's evidence on each of the essential elements of a crime charge that stands unrebutted, which it can't be rebutted at that probable cause stage, then that is sufficient to find probable cause. And while they have an obligation to investigate alternative views and make a determination based on contrary evidence as well, I mean, that as far as the court's concerned, the warrant may issue or a criminal complaint may issue or an indictment may issue just on, is there sufficient evidence on each of the essential elements?
That is correct, Your Honor. And to put it nuts and bolts, the fact that it says does bruise ribs, yes, there may be probable cause there. The problem, difficulty is that the rest of the complaint is suspect. For example, it indicates witnesses were identified. That's not true. Mr. Barron specifically disavowed he witnessed anything. He specifically said he never told an officer that. He said he never told Officer Sweeney that. He never told Officer Wright that. The fact is that it says that Detective Hatcher reviewed the medical records. That was another statement made to the magistrate. There's a good inference that that's not true. Now, the district court here, and it's the plaintiff's position, district court weighed the evidence. Because what ended up happening is the district court said, well, Detective Hatcher says he reviewed it and that he didn't lie. Well, how is a plaintiff supposed to prove any sort of cause of action if the officer can just get up there and say, I reviewed it and I didn't lie? Well, the reason is you look into what did he do and what didn't he do. And then the court goes around that issue by saying the plaintiff engaged in speculation. That's not true. The fact of the matter is that the medical records do not say suffered a slight fracture. Those words don't exist. They exist one time and one time only. They exist in Meredith Major's statement to the police, to the record, to her provider, which her provider then negated. So the fact is that if Detective Danner or Detective Hatcher truly read the records as he indicated to the court he did, then why is he saying a statement that the medical providers did not indicate? That has created difficulty for the defendants in this case, because specifically Ms. Majors wrote to the provider and said, you said this is a slight fracture. Provider comes back and says, no, easy. The review of this said it was likely just gas, so it's likely just a bruised rib.
And you know, that's not unusual, right? You know, the ordinary conversation that takes place all the time is you go in, I have a rib injury, and as a person who suffered a few of them in my life, I would say that, you know, you can't tell what's going on until somebody does a x-ray. So you're going to rule out the fracture, right? So it goes off and the x-ray comes back, and there's no evidence of a crack that's visible. And then they come back and they tell you that, well, it's probably not broken, it's just bruised. And, you know, it's always possible there's some invisible hairline fracture in a bone. It's just like, you know, you'll get over it in a few weeks, you know, and move on, right? And yet, you know, through this whole conversation, I think it's a bit harsh to say someone may lie, because if you examine a medical record, there is conversation, somebody reports there's a rib injury. They've also reported that they thought there was a fracture or bruised rib, you know.
And Judge Erickson, I agree with you. There is a lot to say somebody misrepresented it, but that's an inference for what's happened. Mm-hmm. Because the medical record doesn't justify saying she was diagnosed with a slight fracture and bruised rib. See, one thing that's happened.
Counsel, this is just good. Let me ask you a question. Typically, when we're looking at these concerns about affidavits, one of the ways we'd look at it is, what would there be to support probable cause if you took out the disputed element? So if you took out broken rib, it's undisputed that there was bruised rib. Why would that not still give the magistrate enough to make a decision as to whether there was probable cause?
Well, the magistrate may still decide at that decision. One of the problems, Judge Smith, is that that's not all the inappropriate statements in that complaint. The fact is that another potential inference of reading the evidence is that he did not review the medical evidence. Even though he said he did, he's stating the medical record's different than what it says. He's stating it the way Ms. Majors reported it. He's not saying it the way the records indicate. So you take out witness statements. You take out the fact that he reviewed the evidence. You take out the fact that there's a fracture and a bruised rib, and you just go to bruised rib. There might still be probable cause in front of the magistrate. The problem is at that point in time, there's been enough call to question of whether or not in the totality of the facts, for all reasonable facts known to the officer, was there probable cause. And the difficulty we have is that the officer specifically was asked in deposition, what do you base your probable cause on? And one of the major facts he based it on was that there was a witness to the incident that confirmed everything. And that is not true. And quite frankly, the reason the officer said that is because he didn't do his own homework. He relied on game of telephone, and then he ended up making this conclusion. And I understand why by saying just, okay, well, there was a bruised rib here, was that he's saying he stepped on her back. Well, the standard operating procedure of the officer also says that he must interview both principals. And the defendants, in this case, say, oh, they don't, that's just, that is just not necessary in these cases. But the standard operating procedure, which can be found on Appendix 377, specifically says, make a second contact with the principals involved in a case requiring follow-up investigations or which has been closed. That's what happened here. All these other provisions don't apply, and the idea that they might be optional, this one says if an investigation has been closed, which happens here, and was reopened, you're supposed to reinvestigate. He didn't do that. He doesn't have that information to his in his knowledge that were available to him. With that, Your Honors, I'd like to reserve all of my remaining time for rebuttal.
Thank you. Mr. Richards.
May it please the court. My name is Mike Richards. I represent the city of West Des Moines and Detective Hatcher in this matter, along with my partner, Katie Grawl. I'm going to argue this differently than I had planned because you're obviously very well attuned to the facts in this case, and I'm going to start at the Franks violation. We have an affidavit that was presented to the magistrate. The magistrate found there was probable cause and issued the arrest warrant. To get around the affidavit now, to get around the arrest warrant that Mr. Majors was arrested pursuant to, the court applies Frank. And there's two questions. A, is there a material misrepresentation or a reckless misrepresentation? And B, if you take that thing out, is there still probable cause? And I think the court has already hit on that in an opening argument that in this case, the thing that's disputed is the fact that there was a broken rib. And while we believe the medical records that were provided to Detective Hatcher gave him sufficient information to believe that, and I'd say one of the records says sometimes it can be hard to tell if a rib is bruised or broken. The symptoms may be the same. And when Detective Hatcher was asked about that in his deposition, he said, I'm not a doctor. I thought I was saying the right thing. But even still, if you take out the broken rib, you have a bruised rib. And the district court judge correctly found that a bruised rib that is alleged to have been caused when an individual steps on their spouse's back is spousal assault. It's sufficient to at least have probable cause to assert a claim for spousal support. And because this, and the other issue with the opposing counsel's argument where he's trying to draw all of these inferences about other things that should have happened or maybe you should question other parts of the affidavit is the Frank rule specifically requires you to assume that the affidavit is accurate unless there is evidence that shows that it's not. And the only thing that we have that arguably is incorrect is that there was a broken rib.
Yeah, the only evidence in this case that something was amiss really is the timing, which the appellant has been concerned about in the brief. And it's sort of like the old story where you have a situation when you arrive there at the time in question and it's irresolvable, so no one gets arrested, everybody walks away, you just separate the parties. Then further information is developed over time. And, you know, the suspicion that I am sure that the appellants got is this kind of age-old problem that the evidence seems to get a lot better when one person doesn't give up and they keep calling and say, I've got more evidence, I've got more evidence, I've got more evidence, and then ultimately it issues, it being a warrant or a summons if it's a misdemeanor. Now, all that may be true. But the question is there any case in Franks that says that that's something that any court can consider as they analyze search or the arrest warrant application?
Not so far as I'm aware, Your Honor. And I believe the case law in line with Franks says this court should give great deference to the magistrate's issuance of the warrant. And unless and until something is proven to be either false or recklessly untrue, then, or intentionally false or recklessly untrue, then the warrant stands and the arrest is proper. If the court wants information about the timing, I could provide that as well, but I don't think it's necessary in order to confirm that there was no Frank's violation, the affidavit stands and the arrest was appropriate.
Without some case that says that that sort of consideration and timing consideration may in fact be considered by a court on appeal, it seems to me it leaves somebody with a bad taste in their mouth, but the opportunity to contest it is actually foreclosed.
And, Your Honor, I think the important thing, too, is with respect to a probable cause determination and an arrest warrant, it's not a conviction of a crime, and that's what the trial's for. So that's why the standards are different between probable cause to issue a warrant and then allow someone to attack it at a later date in the criminal trial, as Your Honor is well aware. The last thing I'd say, unless there are any other questions, there were two other complaints or two other claims to this case. There was a malicious prosecution claim, and there was an unlawful seizure of person claim. Plaintiff's counsel confirmed to the district court that if there was probable cause for the false arrest, then those claims fail too. We haven't really addressed that very much in claimant's brief, or appellant's brief didn't address it much. But I would say, Your Honors, that if you agree that the warrant was good, the arrest was good, there's no false arrest, then claims 2 and 3 also fail. So unless there are any other questions from the court, I'll cede the rest of my time.
Thank you. Mr. Stolte, you have 6 seconds. I'll give you a minute in light of the fact that the government didn't take all their time.
Your Honor, in addressing some of my friend on the other side's arguments here, I agree the courts is in tune to the facts. But there's two facts that seem to get overlooked here a little bit. One, it's not just the slight rib and fracture. That the terms that have been given by district court and by counsel in their briefing of a slight fracture or a bruised rib and or fracture and or doesn't exist. Or got added after the fact when they realized they can't keep slight fracture fitting. If we're in an employment case, that'd be a shifting explanation. Here we're talking about a conjunction that was used, not some sort of other verbiage that was used. The other one is that there's been statements over and over again that there was a witness. There was no witness. The witness couldn't have been any clearer. And so with that, Your Honor, we would ask that this be sent back and sent back to the district court. Thank you.
Thank you. The matter is submitted. We appreciate your time and argument in the briefing in this case, and we'll decide it in due course. Are there any other cases to be called this morning?
No, Your Honor.
The court will stand in recess until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.